The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? This is the Talk in the Draft podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. I am joined by my co-host tonight, Cole Patterson, and we have a very special guest on with us. We have Jacoby Stevens, LSU, defensive back, linebacker. He is a do-it-all defender for LSU, and we can't wait to have him on the show. Jacoby, man, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
We are hanging in there. I'm in Virginia. Cole's in Dallas, so we're both dealing with snow and ice right now. I think you're kind of in between. You might be dealing with some of that too, but yeah, it's been a hectic week. I'll say that with all the power outages and everything. But
for sure,
man, I wanted to start. I know you know you played football at LSU in Louisiana the last few years. Where are you currently training at right now, and what's the whole process been for you preparing for your pro day?
Yes, I'm training at Limitless Performance in Covington, Louisiana. And really and truly, that's all I do. All I do is train. I wake up, eat me some breakfast, and I work out. And I go back, do some recovery, and go back, work out again. You know, try to sneak a nap in and then work out again. I work out three times a day. And really this whole process is about working out and molding my body and making sure – you know, that everything is ready to go come pro day.
So I'm just curious, since you know, obviously have been playing football in Louisiana the past few years, was working out in Louisiana something you wanted to do, stay close to home, stay kind of close to things you're familiar with, or was that an agency thing? Like, how did it work out for you to start training for the combine and everything in Louisiana?
Well, with my agency, I'm signed under A3. You know, they allowed me to pick where I wanted to work cool. out. And choosing Limitless Performance, I chose them just because, you know, I already had a relationship with them, and they're very good with what they do. I saw the differences in my body during the 2019 season, just how I was able to move and get around. So the guy that, you know, that runs Limitless Performance, Kenny, he knows what he's talking about. And I mean, literally in a month, you know, going to the Senior Bowl, I go back and I kind of look at some people, and you know, there were no changes in their body due to, you know, wherever they went to go train.
Right.
But you know, with me, you know, I can feel the changes. I can see the changes in my body in a month's time. So I felt like going to Limitless and going to somebody that I already had a relationship with. He already knew how my body was. He already knew how my body worked. You know, that was an advantage.
For sure. I know you're, you know, obviously when you first started there, probably pre-Senior Bowl, it still wasn't announced that the combine wasn't going to happen. So you were training for the combine, and obviously you have a pro day. Do you know when your pro day is?
Yes. I'm pretty sure LSU's pro day is March 31st. That's what I've been told.
Okay.
I don't know if LSU released that date yet, but that's what they've told us.
Okay, and I guess my next question for you is you've been training, you're probably training for the combine, doing all that, and a lot of the same things you do at the combine, you will do at your pro day. Is that kind of, have you been working more on the drills as far as like positional drills, or have you been doing a lot of work on just like your 40 starts and your explosive jumps and all that sort of thing, like getting the actual athletic drills down pat more so than the positional drills?
Right. For me and for this process, guys have to understand that it's all about asking questions. Answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, one of the questions I have to answer is, can I move? Am I an athlete? So
right.
For me, is that I'm going to focus on those questions to answer, and that's what me and my trainer, that's what we've been doing this whole off season. This whole process is making sure that I'm able to answer those questions and being able to put a performance on March 31st and be able to, you know, steal the show from some big names that's going to be there at LSU.
Hey, what's up, Jacoby? This is Cole. I was just wondering, you know, you kind of touched on it just a second ago, wanting to move, prove that you can move. You're obviously a very versatile player at LSU. You were all over the field, all over that defense for Ed Orgeron, making plays. Is there anything specifically that you're wanting to prove at your pro days, or anything you're like wanting to, I guess, train? Is there any specific drills that you're wanting to work on to catch the attention of scouts? Obviously the pro day is more important than it ever has been with the unusual offseason, unusual draft process.
Right. In this situation, I just want to prove what I already know.
Yeah.
I already know that I'm a high class top tier athlete. Mm-hmm. I want to prove to them that, you know, and that I already know that I can play any position in the NFL. When it comes to being versatile, go look at my film, you go look at my production, there's nobody else in this draft that shares my production or that comes close to it. I mean, we talk mm-hmm. about guys being versatile and being able to play safety and linebacker, but when they play safety, they've never covered the middle of the field. They've never been in the half. So mm-hmm. For me, that's more playing just in the box linebacker. Those are the things that I've done, and those are the things that I'm looking to prove in my pro day.
Yeah. Speaking on that, I was just curious, is there a certain way, certain position you prefer playing for at LSU? Is there something you think you excel at better than the other? Or are you kind of open to, you know, playing wherever the league wants you at?
Whatever team drafts me, that's one thing that I hope a team understands, is that I'm a team first guy. I'm an organization first guy. So yeah. Wherever they need me to play. And that's really how it happened at LSU. Coach Aranda, Coach O, they asked me to play multiple different positions. They when I came in as a recruit, they asked me to play receiver. They asked me to play tight end. They asked me to play a little bit of H-back, and I was yes sir about it. And you know, when we had a couple of injuries on the defense side of the ball, Coach O asked me to move back to defense, and I play outside linebacker. I went to the outside linebacker room for a while, and I ended up going back to the safety room for a while. But you know, I'm always open to play. At the end of the day, football, the game of football is something that I love, and football is going to be football regardless of what position that you play. And I'm just blessed with the ability to be able to play multiple positions.
Yeah, that's a lot of – you mentioned so much there that really tells a great story. I did want to ask you, you hinted at it a little bit, but you talked about your recruiting process a little bit coming into LSU. You know, they wanted you to play multiple roles, some offense, some defense, you know, kind of moving all over the place. Can you take us through your recruiting process a little bit? I know you're one of the highest touted recruits coming out in your class. You kind of had the pick of the litter as far as where you wanted to go. What led you to LSU, and what maybe, you know, what was the deciding factor in that, picking LSU over some of the better, you know, some of the other, some of the best other teams in the country, like Ohio State, Alabama? Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on and on. What made you go to LSU?
Well, first, I know you threw Ohio State in there, but I wouldn't be here doing my due diligence if I didn't say that I'm always an SEC guy. me going to a school outside the SEC was never going to be an option. The reason why I chose LSU over the likes of the Alabamas, the Georgias, and the Auburns is because LSU was my dream school. LSU was always the school that I dreamt of going to, just not because of the players, and just because for me, it's almost going back home in a sense, because that's where my mom and dad grew up. and that's where they were born and raised. That's where my grandmother and my cousins and my aunts and uncles, that's where they were. So to be being able to go back there and be able to play, you know, 4 years of football in front of them was a special moment. But like I said, LSU was definitely my dream school. But you know, other teams definitely pushed and tried to get me to go there. But at the end of the day, me being like, you know, being a kid at heart, you know, I chose LSU over those type of schools.
I gotta ask: is LSU DBU?
Oh man!
Oh, without a doubt.
I was expecting that to be your answer to my last question. I was like, "Why did you pick LSU?" I was just waiting for it because it's DBU.
Well, that was a deciding factor in it as well. I mean, I know there's
like
a couple of other schools. There's a couple of other schools that try to say that they're DBU, but when you ask them to name a list of players of the DBs they produce, you know, they're budding stars. I mean, you ask about players that LSU produce DBs, you can automatically go to Patrick Peterson, you can go to Tyrann Mathieu. You can go to Eric Reed. I mean, I know people don't like him as much, but, you know, shoot, he set the tackling and sack records for the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's so many guys out of LSU at the DB position that you can name. I mean, you want to go to our budding star, you can go to Tre'Davious White. You can go to Jamal Adams. You can go to Dante. We can sit here and we can change an interview to a DBU conversation. how many DBs we have in the NFL?
Sure. We're real familiar with Morris Claiborne, who obviously didn't work out a whole lot being Dallas fans, but. You know, hey, he had some good years in the league too. But yeah, he's a name you can add to the list for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of names.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you said that you know, you always wanted to play in the SEC, and that kind of led. That was one reason why you wanted to play for LSU. Some of our listeners know I got the opportunity to work in the Mississippi State recruiting department for the last few seasons, so I obviously got to see you play up and close and personal. So I have to ask, how in the world did you intercept that pass last season? The national championship, the one-handed pick. I swear, the entire stadium, Mississippi State fan, LSU fan, we all went insane. How did you make that play?
To be honest with you, it was all reaction. I read the quarterback's eyes. You know, he took me to the play, and I just, to be honest with you, I can't really tell you what was going through my head when I went up for that ball.
Just be your instinct.
I guess that's what you could say. But it's funny because when I did that, you know, my high school, Oakland High School in Tennessee, they put out multiple videos of me doing that in high school. So I guess I guess it is some type of instinct. So
yeah, that's one of the most impressive interceptions I've seen. So. We obviously, Mr. Stavey, lost that game, but hats off to you, man.
Thank you. That's much appreciated.
Man, so I want to get into career at LSU, the seasons at LSU. I want to get into a little bit of the Senior Bowl and all that, too. We'll get towards that to the end. But the first question I had for you is, obviously this season did not go as planned for you guys. I know coming off a national championship year, you know, a lot of people still thought you guys had a really good chance to compete for that again, and obviously it didn't go as planned. What do you think went wrong with the LSU football team this year? I mean, obviously you lost so many guys to the NFL, and whenever that happens, it's going to be hard to replace it. But there was a lot of people asking that question. There's never really good answers. Do you have any sort of insight on maybe just what the struggles were on that football team this year?
Right. I mean, when you look at the season, like you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we had so many guys that left, but one thing about LSU, we bring in young guys, that can compete and that are capable of carrying a team. But the biggest thing that was missing was the offseason.
Right.
And that was due to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have young guys coming in, you know, at a disadvantage already with no offseason. Then you have a new defensive coordinator coming in with a new scheme. So now you don't have the older guys able to teach the younger guys the scheme that was already there. So, I mean, just had a bunch of new things going on. And then, you know, you go into the hardest conference that I feel like in the country and you play. And, you know, there's a lot of growing pains. And, you know, as the season progressed, you can really see the younger guys grow up. So that's why I'm really excited to see the young guys, this year and how they're going to be able to play and produce this year. But I think the reason why, you know, we didn't live up to our own expectation, not the outside expectation, why we didn't live up to our own expectation, it's because of the offseason. And, you know, that's one of the things I said when I left to Coach Moffitt was that, you know, we really felt and people are going to really realize how important the weight coaches and the strength and conditioning staff and a true football offseason really is now.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, I wanted to get the tough question out of the way first, but let's talk about that 2019 season for a little bit, because that was that was the best college football team that I can remember ever watching. Offensively, defensively, I mean, it was just there were no holes in that team. And right. I think it kind of shows, you know, with how many guys went into the league and how many guys LSU is going to put into the league this year. But can you just take us through a review? Take us through that year. I mean, obviously it started off strong and finished even stronger. And I know a lot of people haven't got to experience that national championship style of feeling. And I think while that is so important and it's such an awesome feeling, there's so much work and there's so much grind that goes into getting to that point that a lot of people just aren't familiar with and don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the first thing that I want to say is that, you can't do all that without practice. When they do a 30 for 30, they'll show practice clips. But, man, practice felt like game days. I mean, even in during the offseason, it felt like game days. Practice was fun. You look forward to practice because you've got a game day look. I mean, you know, you as a defensive player, when you're going one versus one, and you look across, you see the Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, you see the Joe Burrows. You see Thaddeus Moss, Justin Jefferson, Terry. I mean, we can keep going down the list of all the guys that, you know, that you saw across from the ball. And it worked vice versa because those guys they weren't going to see a Kalavon Chaisson. They weren't going to see a Grant Delpit, Christian Fulton, or Derek Stingley. So doing those things in practice has made us that much better. And you know, and it was just the attitude that we had, the attitude that we weren't satisfied. We were never satisfied. I always point to this because you know, just to show and give an example of our mentality of that season. But LSU plays in two big rivalry bowl games. It's called the Magnolia Bowl and the Golden Boot Bowl or the Golden Boot Game, and it's between Arkansas and Ole Miss. And the winner of that game gets a trophy. And I remember that 2019 season. You know, we won those games, and we won those games pretty handedly. And we just walked off the field. We just ignored. we literally forgot about picking up the trophy and bringing it to the locker room because that meant the mentality that we had was, who's next? Right. You know, we're pushing on. We're not celebrating this because this is not the end goal. You know, and another example I give is, I mean, just that mentality, that grind and that work mentality, you know, I know that I had and the majority of the guys had. It took me a minute to relax and actually enjoy the national championship win because you're in that mode for so long. You're in that competitive mode for so long. It's always who's next, who's next on the list. So after you won the national championship, it really took me a while. It really took me to the parade that we had with the fans to really – have that, you know, pinch me moment of winning the national championship.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed, on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
For sure. Yeah, that was awesome. I loved hearing you talk about that. I know at the end of the year last year, obviously there was a lot of talk about you coming out into the draft last year. You decided to go back in school and you had a really good 2020 season. The team didn't, but you yourself, I thought, put a lot of good tape out there. What was the decision for yourself to go back to school for that 2020 year? Was it, you know, was it to get the degree, or did you just feel like you had some unfinished business at LSU that you wanted to take care of?
Oh yeah, I just think that I wasn't done with LSU. I mean, like I made mention before, LSU is my dream school. You know, right. And talking with Jack Marucci, and you know, talking with Trey White, you never get those moments back.
Right.
And the NFL isn't going anywhere. So I felt like you said, I felt like I had unfinished business. I felt like I had unfinished, I had more experiences that I could have at LSU. You know, of course, I mean, did the season go as planned? Of course it didn't. But I can honestly say that as a player and as a person, I definitely grew from this season.
Yeah, that's... I really was interested to get your answer from that question, because like I said, last year I know was a great year for you, great year for LSU, and a lot of guys left. And you don't disrespect the guys who go back to school, but I always have like a little bit more respect for the guys who do go back after a year like that, because you're like, man, they're not just in it for that, you know, national championship and then, you know, right off into the sunset. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go back. I'm going to, you know, hopefully you know, get another opportunity at it, teach somebody something. Like, there's a bigger picture to it.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing with me. And that's one of the things that some of those guys, they're going to find out about me on the next level. For me, it's not about the money. A lot of guys, they get the love of football and the love of money intertwined and mixed up in. They don't know what they really and truly desire. But for me, it's all about football. Man, I'm in love with the game of football. And I just, like I said, I'm a student of the game. So, I mean, just being able to go back and just play the game that I love, I wish I had the fans there, you know, more fans there for my senior year.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you get what you're able to have. But I really definitely had a great time, and I felt like a wonderful career at LSU. You know, it's always going to hold a very special place in my heart. But at the end of the day, man, I love the game of football.
Yeah, so you said that obviously that national championship team took it week by week. They weren't really worried about – you guys weren't worried about who was on the schedule. You know, you weren't worried about the Magnolia Bowl or whatever. You weren't focused on all of that. But with all of that said, was the Alabama game circled on your schedule heading into this season? I know y'all played them pretty tough the year prior. The score looks a little worse than what it actually was, but that was a highly competitive game. I think it was like a 16-0 game at halftime. You know, y'all forced Alabama into a lot of mistakes, but y'all didn't play as well as y'all would have liked, I assume. Was that game, you know, with all the talent on the field with both teams, their receivers and offense and y'all's defensive backs, was that a game that y'all had circled that y'all are more motivated for, or was that kind of just like were y'all wanting to prove yourselves right, or was that just a normal game for y'all?
I'd be lying to you if I said that was a normal game. I mean, LSU Alabama is a huge game. I mean, Alabama and LSU is always going to be a huge game
for sure
from the end of time. Mm-hmm. But going into the game, I truly believe 110% believe that everybody on their roster knew that we were the better team. I mean, Coach O said it on Monday that we were the better team and we were going to go down there and beat them. And literally, I honestly can say that I feel like everybody believed that we were a better team. And, and we went out there and proved it. Like you said, the score doesn't tell the story. The score doesn't tell the story of that butt we gave in 2019. You know, it really was that though. You know, everybody really felt and believed in each other.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into the fun stuff now. So obviously you just went to the Senior Bowl. That was your first kind of, I guess you're dipping your toes into the whole NFL experience. Had a really good week there. You did a lot of different things. I kind of wanted to touch on like, so in the Senior Bowl, it's kind of your first chance to get around these scouts, get around these teams. I know you did some linebacker stuff. You did some safety stuff. You did a little bit of both. So kind of from your Senior Bowl week, what are you taking away from kind of where teams are projecting you playing at the next level? Maybe the role they see you in and where they see you kind of fitting in the NFL level.
Well, the story about the Senior Bowl was, I came in really light to play because I thought I was going to play linebacker. I thought I was going to play safety going into the Senior Bowl. And, due to COVID-19 and somebody coming in with an injury, Mr. Nagy came and asked me to play linebacker. And just like I would do and normally do, I said, sure, why not? You know what I'm saying? So, I did that. And, I was able to really learn the will backer position. Yeah. I went to go play inside linebacker, but that was more on third down, and that's why I was telling my my parents, especially my mom, because she, God bless her soul, she really doesn't know anything about football. third down inside linebacker is totally different than a wheel backer on first and second down. So at LSU, that's when I would go play my inside linebacker is on third down. So being able to learn the position on first and second, pretty cool experience. And it basically showing the team I'm willing to do whatever. I'm not one of those guys that's going to poke his lip out and is going to get upset because it's a team for me to play with a linebacker. I felt like that I proved that. But, being out there and still being able to make plays at a foreign position, I felt like did me a lot of justice. And, this is the things that I got from the teams. They really just asked me where I felt comfortable at. And I just told them, basically what I did in 2019. And it really does. And honestly, it doesn't matter because I feel comfortable wherever. Like I said at the beginning of the interview, I look at myself as the most versatile person in this draft. I mean, they try to go and say some other guys are versatile, but when you look at their film, like I say again, they never played in the post or, they never played in the half. They're always in the box or vice versa. They want to say they're versatile, but they never were really in the box. They were, out covering slot receiver. They were never in playing inside linebacker, outside linebacker. I'm the only one that did all of it. And, I feel comfortable doing all of it. So I think teams are just kind of just curious on where I feel most comfortable at.
Yeah, when I'm doing my reports and everything, I always call that type of player a football player because it might not be an edge, it might not be a linebacker, it might not be a safety, but he's a football player, and you find a place to put him on the field and let him play football. And there's a lot of guys, in the league now that do that. There's a lot of guys coming out in this draft that do a very similar thing. So it's cool to see how many, like you said, not all of them have that experience as being like you said, playing that single high spot down in the box, the linebacker, you've lined up at edge. Like you've done so many different things. A lot of guys haven't, but there's just a lot of guys in this class who they're like that, where not your instance, but they're that tweener mold. Like, are they an outside linebacker? Are they a defensive end? We'll call them an edge and they're versatile.
Right,
but you actually have the experience playing those, playing that versatility and it's gonna help a ton, I think, with the scouting side of things where teams are just going to be like, we'll just find a place for him. He'll play football.
Right. Mm. That's the thing. I don't want to take away from what those guys do.
Right, right.
Because what they do is they do at a very high level. But when you want to, but when you want to get in a conversation of talking most versatile, like I said, that's where I point to. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm doing that plus some. But I'm definitely not taking away from what those guys do because those guys are really good at what they do. But if we want to talk about who's the most versatile person and who played the most versatile position at a high level in this draft, like I said, I can't really see anybody else in this draft that does that.
Yeah, I feel like versatility is becoming more and more important in the NFL today, you know, with how much the league wants to throw the ball, how many creative minds are coming up through the ranks. Obviously, you have Sean McVay, you have Kellen Moore in Dallas, all of that. Can you, kind of speaking to what you just kind of spoke on, can you, like, explain the differences with your responsibility and roles in Dave Aranda's scheme compared to the ones that you played in, the defense you played in last season?
Yeah, well, and one thing in Coach Aranda's scheme, he asked me and he trusts me to do more.
Yeah.
And not saying Coach Blaney didn't trust me to do more. It was, like I said, it was just the off season.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have an off season to install all the things that he really wanted to do.
For sure.
As far as Coach Aranda, you know, he asked me, like you said, he asked me to play edge, he asked me to play outside linebacker, he asked me to play big nickel, different, you know, free safety, strong safety. He asked me to play all those things because we had time to do that, and he trusted me to learn the position. And the reason why, like you said, you hit on it earlier was, you know, teams are looking for more versatile players is because you have the likes of the Alvin Kamara, the Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
You got, you know, you have tight ends like George Kittle, Travis Kelce, that, you know, they line up at running back, but they're an extra receiver, you know, or, you know, so you need those guys to match that. In today's game is about matchup and matching personnel. It's not about just lining up and, you know, PE football, just lining up and hitting each other in the mouth and whoever is the toughest going to win. There's a little bit more thinking to it now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you are getting these versatile pieces, you know, and it's all about being analytical and smart.
Yeah. You hit on like Alvin Kamara and like this kind of players in the NFL, George Kittle. Who was the toughest, I guess, matchup you went up against in the SEC? I know you went up against some really good running backs, receivers, and tight ends. Is there one like matchup that you're either more excited about than the rest, or one that was more difficult than you thought, or what was that like?
To be honest with you, I think the most difficult matchup that I had was my sophomore year against Texas A&M was Jace Sternberger. I felt like I did a good job on Jace. I let up one catch, you know, it was a rub route that he ran in one of the overtime games. But, you know, I think that was just the toughest matchup I had. But the one that I was really excited about was Kyle Pitts my junior year. You know, I was really excited about that. And, you know, when you go back and look at that film, you know, I went 3-0 against him. That, you know, I argue, you know, they have some, you know, you may have some websites that said that I went 2-1 because of a pass interference call. But when you look at that, that call is questionable in itself. But,
that's still good odds against him.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like it's very good odds. But those were the two matchups that I was excited about and my most difficult matchups.
Okay.
Awesome. I wanted to ask you kind of going back to the Senior Bowl, but just throughout this offseason, can you talk about some of the teams that you've been in contact with, who've been reaching out to, you know, be interested in coming to your pro day or interested in scheduling some maybe Zoom meetings or something like that? Are you able to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. A couple of teams that I was able to talk to at the pro day at the Senior Bowl. Were the Jets, the Bills, the Eagles, the Colts, and I recently just got on the phone with the 49ers. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's getting hectic, and it's going to start to pick back up because, you know, right now teams are focused on free agency, and you know, we're kind of seeing everything that's going on. So it's going to start picking up here, back up here soon. But, it's going to be a fun process. You just got to make it fun.
Yeah, you mentioned a few of those teams you mentioned are, you know, I know the Jets' record hasn't been good, but they play a multiple defense. You know, they obviously just got rid of Jamal Adams, but Marcus May is a good, you know, defensive back that moves around, does so many different things. Jamal Adams obviously did that for him when he was there. 49ers as well kind of move their DBs and, you know, secondary defenders around a lot. So that makes a ton of sense, kind of the way those guys play and what your skill set is. That those would be some good fits right there.
Yes,
so outside of football, this is my favorite part. We're only going to keep you for a few more minutes. But outside of football, You take the helmet off, you take the pads off. Jacoby Stevens, what does he enjoy doing? What's he like spending his time doing? What are his hobbies? What are his interests?
Well, you know, outside of football, I'm a family. I love being around my family. You know, I love having family time and being around my my girlfriend, my mom, my dad, my sister, aunts, uncle, and I just love. As my family, I just love having everybody around. You know, even down to my dogs. I just love having everybody around and being together. But you know, aside from family, you know, I aspire to be more, you know, like LeBron James and another guy that I really look up to that a lot of people don't know because they don't read and they don't do research, but John D. Rockefeller. You know, guys. Okay. You know, guys these age. You know, they want to be the Elon Musk and you know, the Jeff Bezos, and the whole time those guys are trying to be John D. Rockefeller. So why not be John D. Rockefeller? So I just do research on guys like him and try to set my portfolio up or set my morals and set my goals up to align with that type of success.
So that's pretty interesting. Is there any like specific goals that you have outside of football, kind of speaking on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a couple of my goals is just, being able to, have my hand and have unlimited resources within, just being able to be smart and being able to be a smart a businessman. You're given a great opportunity. You're given a great resource playing this game. So why not use it? And why not set it up for your kids and their kids and going down that line? So for me, it's all about creating generational wealth and being able to create a regime and a dynasty.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Awesome. Last question I got for you before we get you out of here. Whatever team does draft Jacoby Stevens, what is that fan base? What is that team? What is that organization going to get in you as a player and as a person off the field?
Well, as a fan base and an organization, you don't have to worry about any off the field issues. I'm a high character guy. I'm somebody that's going to walk in his integrity. Somebody that, that's always going to be looking to doing the right thing and then some. As on the field, fans you can expect, and the organization can expect somebody that's a smart football player, a student of the game, that has that's going to have passion for the game, someone that's always going to play hard. You're going to get an explosive player. You're going to get a versatile player. You're going to get somebody that, like I said, that's really in love with the game of football. And especially, the city that I go to embrace me, I'm definitely going to embrace them. And I think it's going to be a very loyal and fun relationship for years to come.
Awesome stuff, man. Awesome stuff. This was an awesome interview. I really enjoyed having you on. Like I said, really fun player, too. I love the versatility. We talked about the versatility, but I love just like the ability to cover, a little bit to tackle. I mean, it's just you can do so many different things. And as you just talked about, which I thought was really, really good, when you talked about how it's so important in today's NFL to not just line up across from the person and beat them. It's important for you to, match up guys with guys that can match up with other people. Other players, and I think that's so important in today's league when you don't have a slot corner on a 6'3" wide Justin Jefferson. You have a guy like yourself that can get into the slot, can cover, he can play the run. You're not having to just hope that your 5'10" slot corner can line up against Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson it's just not how the league works anymore.
Right. Yeah. You just can't do that because you like Justin did to a lot of guys this year. LSU guy. I'm glad you said him. He made a lot of guys look silly.
Yep.
And so the best thing to do is to scheme them up because there's certain things that watching film you gotta see what Justin does and that's why these defensive coordinators get paid and stuff like that. So you gotta put your best guys in good position. So like you said, you hit it on the head. It's not checkers, it's chess. So you have nice pieces you know, you put them in certain situations to be able to produce and being able to play good defense on the defense side of the ball and vice versa.
Matchup football, man. That's what we call it a lot on the podcast we talk about. But you called it DBU. We just talked about the receivers. It's probably wide receiver U, too. Yeah. I mean, LSU's just turning into a –
I mean, it is everything. I mean, it's receiver U, DBU.
You got a lot of running backs in the league, too.
Running back.
Devin White, Patrick Queen.
Linebacker U. I mean, we can go down the list. And then, you know, from your, you know, with Joe Burrow coming through, we're about to start QBU.
That's right.
I mean, it's going to get to the point if you want to, I mean, and that's how it is now. If you want to go to the NFL, you need to come to Baton Rouge, Louisiana for 3 to 4 years. And I promise you, you get to the NFL.
you're not wrong, and it's turning into
hard to argue. So. I had a quick question to kind of finish us off. You know, I know, you guys down there in Louisiana love to eat food. Are you a big Cajun food guy, or do you like a crawfish? Are you into that scene, or you kind of prefer something else?
Well, see, my family's from Louisiana, and so you know, when we were living in Tennessee, all I ate were, you know, dishes and meals that are from down here. So, but my favorite meal, I would say, I wouldn't even call it a meal. I would say food. If you guys were to come, I would take you to go get some boudin, and it would be on the other side of Atchafalaya, like around Lafayette, you know, Crowley area. That's where I would take you guys. I'd take you guys to go get some boudin from on the other side of Atchafalaya. That definitely would change your life.
Well, hopefully COVID will be done and we can make our trip to Baton Rouge and go try this before you get drafted.
Definitely.
Well, this was awesome, Jacoby. Thanks so much for coming on, man. Yeah. And I really appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much, man.